Thank you. How you all doing? Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. I'd like to welcome to those who are watching over the live stream. You are comfortable in your seat? Once a brother from Missouri, couldn't remember his name, he was calling to take the office of priest, and he told me once, he's like, "Hey, how you like to stand in front of everybody?" I'm like, "Well, it's not the fun part. I mean, it's not. I get nervous and all that stuff." He's like, "Yeah, me too. I used to enjoy just sitting in my bench, leaning back and taking notes." I'm like, "Yeah, that's pretty cool. I guess that's a thing that we like to enjoy. Not that I'm complaining that I'm standing up here, but I do need your prayers that I may last for an hour up here, and I ask so you can hold me in your prayers and everything will go well. In other words, we're trusting the Lord. We're trusting the Lord. He's with me. He's with each of you. And I hope and pray that this message that God has put in my heart, I hope that it's a blessing for you today, according to, you know, the things that we go through our life. It's good that we make time to be here. Whereas, right, if you trust in the Lord and you're looking for a blessing or an answer, perhaps today you might get it here today. So once again, I'd like to welcome to each of you. I'm going to read something here real quick to break the ice. That's right. I always find comments, and I think they all do, that we may kind of loosen up a little bit, and we can continue on and take off. So there's prayers for everything. There's prayers for every need that we have. And I'm going to read one here that I found on online and that I found pretty interesting. It says, "Lord, I would like to pray on Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. And it says, I am your loyal servant, ready to take care of you well. And every Wednesday and Saturday, you entrust somebody with the powerful jackpot. How generous are they? I have been faithful with the small amount of money I earn in my job. I am ready to be put in charge of more wealth. Please, pick these numbers during the Powerball drawing. I ask that you give according to my ability. Give me a bag of gold, and I will turn it into two. Give me five bags, and I will bring you five more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." We have another example in the Book of Mormon. Another prayer, and I'm going to read it. You find it in Alma 16. It says, "This is how the Samorites pray." It says, "Holy, holy God, we believe that Thou art God, and we believe that Thou art holy, and that Thou wast a spirit, and that Thou art a spirit, and that Thou wilt be a spirit forever. God, we believe that Thou hast separated us from our brethren, and we do not believe in the tradition of our brethren, which was handed down to them by the childishness of their fathers, but we believe that Thou hast elected us to be Thy holy children, and also that hast made it known to us that Thou here, that there shall be no Christ, but Thou art the same, yesterday, today, and in forever. And Thou hast elected us that we shall be saved, whilst all around us are elected to be cast by the wrath down to hell. For the which holiness, O God, we thank thee. And we also thank thee that thou hast elected us, that we may not be led away after the foolish traditions of our brethren, which do bind them down to believe of Christ, which thou lead their hearts to wander far from thee, O God. And again we thank thee, O God, that we are choosing and holy people. Amen. These two prayers, I find them pretty interesting. And I'm sure you do. You do also. I would like to win the lottery. Should I be playing the lottery? A friend of mine come and ask me and say, hey, I'm going through so many problems in my life. And sometimes I feel like I should play the lottery. What can you tell me since you're a minister? Should I do that? And I'm like, well, I don't think you do. I don't think you should, because, well, so much money, it can lead you to other things. And he liked my answer. Just like this prayer right here. Do you like this prayer? Will you use this prayer? You have realized that there is something you will not do. The Sodomites, we learned in the Book of Mormon that they are the descendants from the Nephites, but they separate because they're greedy. They just don't want to follow. They fall out from the truth. And then these days continue happening. We continue to deal with these things. You know, just like in the book Nephi, First Nephi, that when in the dream of Lehi, he sees people reaching and fighting to get to the book of life, to the tree that has the most precious and sweetest fruit, and a lot of people do make it. A lot of people do, but through the time, they see this is boring, or is this for me, or I look across the other side, across the river to the ambitious building, and I see they're having fun, and they're drinking, and they're wearing all these expensive clothes. So those things, that's what the scriptures teach us, to be aware and to stay away from, if you follow me. I'm not the perfect person, and we all make mistakes, but if you if you have Christ in your heart, you will know. You will know the mistakes. You will know the things that we need to stay away from. Sometimes we choose. We judge without thinking, and that says that we are good at that, including myself. You know, I have there's a group in my work that are there for meetings. It's a big event. And there's a lot of children around, a lot of teenage kids, 16, 17, 18, I don't know. And, there's this drug in the streets called methamphetamine. And when you start to do those things, that drug, and I heard that it only takes one time for you to get hooked. And then what happened, through the time, it changed you, your face, you vision. I don't know if that's a word, I just made it up. It changed everything of you. You're not the same. You look different. And perhaps that even applies to alcohol, but this drug is worse. And so a lot of the young kids up there, how they have their face full of pimples. They look like pimples, but they're like open source. And right away, you're thinking, well, this guy has a drug problem, right? But a lot of the times, that's not how it is. And perhaps these people, they're dealing with something that we don't know. And that's something that I learned this weekend. And I felt so bad for these kids. Because a lot of the kids were just kind of, like I said, teenagers walking around. And they're all full of open source, like little pimples and stuff. And so I asked around. I said, "What is this group, or what's going on? What are they?" And so they told me this is to support, to teach families, kids. They have hemophilia, which is, I never heard that word. Hemophilia. What is a hemophilia? So I guess it's some type of sicknesses that if you hurt yourself, you just continue bleeding. And bleeding and bleeding for a long time. Your blood doesn't clog like a normal blood should do. And so I see all these kids wiping themselves with Q-tips, with napkins, and over, and as I driving them around my work, picking them up from their suites and stuff. And I never kind of asked them what was going on. But these kids were dealing with something that that you and I don't wish to deal with. And I can see the heavy burn on their parents that they have in their shoulders with his children, that as they're driving them around, and they are supporting them to bring them to this type of meetings that they kind of learn and how to control this thing and learn, because there is a medicine, a cure for it, but it is hard and so I was counting myself so blessed, so richly blessed, and how we complain about always crying about things that really had no import, no value, when others are really suffering. And that's just one little thing, but there's other things around the world they're going around. It's almost like we live in heaven. We are so blessed. We are so rich. Even if I don't have for some mornings for my biscuit, bacon, egg, and biscuit at McDonald's, my favorite dish, sandwich that I like to have, because my rushingness, I'm always rushing back and forth. I always eat in a hurry. So bacon, egg, and biscuit is my, and I'm not asking you to go to McDonald's, but that's one of my best sandwich to calm my hunger. But anyway, even if you have just for that, you are so rich. And many brothers go to other countries, and I'm sure they have seen poverty. Mexico is pretty big too. And so we should count ourselves richly. And the Bible, I haven't found out, or in the Book of Mormon, I haven't found out how is that we are count ourselves richly from other people. But I was reading in Alma, actually me and Rebecca, we were reading in Alma about this guy, they got kicked out from the synagogues, and they were so sad, so down, because they feel like almost like they cannot worship God at all. It has to be in the synagogues or some building. But that's not how it is. That's not how it is. And Alma, the way he see it, this is a really good opportunity, because you had all these synagogues, or the synagogue, you got kicked out for a reason. God works in many ways. And I think I'm going out of my track here, but I'm going to finish this comment there. When something happened to you, it's an opportunity for you to look around and realize that you have more than what you just lost. God is always watching over you. He is always blessing you. And it only takes for you to realize that that's God working on you. We were just coming out from this parking lot today, this morning, and Rebecca's like, we should pray for this sister that works in this place. And she's like, we should pray for her right now. And I'm like, okay, but we're running late. We start praying, and 2 minutes later, boom, there's a car accident right there in the intersection. And we were like, well, that could be us right there. Was that considered a blessing? I believe it was. There's so much stuff going on up there. Didi, as she was driving to church, she ran into another car accident. It's just, this world is full of things that God is like building some type of protection of us. That for whatever reason, he wants you to be here today. And so I'm really thankful that we all have, we all make the best we can to be here and hear his word. We are a great purpose. We are a great purpose. And that purpose is not to live here 100 years. I don't see myself doing that. It's tough to get old, I gotta say. It's tough to get old. This is my third pair of glasses, and every time I go, I get a little worse. But you know, you get to feeling, you know it when you hit the 40. Sorry, guys. Just look forward. But that's not all. That's not all. You know, we have work to do here. You know, the things that we do for our life to support our lives, yes, those are needed. Those are needed. And God will give us the strength that we need. But the most purpose that we have in this life is to accomplish our responsibilities as Christians and as ministers, and it applies to all of us, to all of us. It is nothing wrong to do the right thing, even if sometimes people will kind of mock you because you're doing the right thing. But we have to show good examples to those who surround us. That is one of our main thing that we should be doing, to be a good example to our family, to our friends, and it works. It always works. Paul in Acts, we're going to read in Acts 18:5. It says, I'm going to read it. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was present in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Our work in this life that we have as our duty is to prophesy that Jesus is Christ. That is our main purpose. Not the things of this world, like I said, is needed, but we have a higher office, and it applies to each of us. That work that we have, it has to go to all the world. That's what it says in the scriptures. It has to preach to the whole world before Christ comes. In Genesis, God has given us not a punish, but that said something that our fathers, forefathers, they were in the garden, they disobeyed God and they did the things they should not do. But to me, it was a plan from the beginning. And as in Genesis 3:19, it says, by the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat the bread until your return by the sweat. So we had to continue work even for our bread, even for those things that is needed for our body to sustain our body. It says, till thou return into the ground, for out of it was thou taken, and for dust thou art, and into dust shalt thou return. How many years is that? I don't know. If I'm lucky to live 75, that will be a blessing, and I will take it. So from the time that we were born to the time that we go back, that is our promise and that is our duty to do the things that God has called us to do. Paul, from Thessalonians, from the book of Thessalonians, Paul is encouraged us to continue living a normal life as he was encouraging the Thessalonians as he was in Corinthians when he was working in putting the church together. And so we're going to read in Thessalonians 2:9, and it says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel." We need to preach the gospel of God. That is our duty. Even as it says here, travail, I looked to it, and it was even in that if you, through suffering, we have to bring this news to the people that do not know God. I'm pretty sure that as many that are here, including myself, we don't know everything. We don't know the whole thing, the whole plan. But it is our duty to continue on and not to give up, even if our understanding is short. We need to continue on in preaching the gospel, preaching repentance to the people. Here, I find it interesting this verse Paul was in Corinthians. It says that the people, when he first went to Thessalonians in the book of Acts, it says that he preached the remission of their sins and the resurrection. That if you die in Christ, you will be raised with Christ in Christ. We will. There's a resurrection plan, and these people were they were acting in a way that many people could act these days. They were doing things they're not supposed to be doing because the end was coming. The end was coming, but nobody knows when the end is coming. Christ told a specific. You don't know. I don't know. Only God, my Father. He's the only one who knows when is the end. So I recommend you to stop, to continue living a normal life, working, and not enjoying the things of the world, but. Maybe a little bit, but we have to continue live our life, and the coming of Christ, we have to trust in God that when the day come, we'll be ready for it. Because it says it's gonna come like a thief in the night. So he's not taking long time. He can be here today. He can be here tomorrow. But are you ready for it? That is the question. Are you ready for it? So. We have to keep pushing forward, walking forward, and what we believe. That is what the scriptures teach us to do, and that's what Paul concerned with the Thessalonians, as they were acting that way, because why did I have to work if the end is coming pretty soon? We have to just continue working ourselves, living life like a normal people. And for when that time comes, perhaps we'll be ready. We have to work our own salvation, and sometimes to trust in the and money and trust in the these things that we surround us is not the right thing to do. But our salvation is the most priority thing that we should do. In other words. We're not prepared, we'll be like the 10 virgins. But I'm not going to go there. We're going to go to Mark. Mark 10, chapter 17 to 26. And I'm going to read here, Christ speaking. "And when he was gone for into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" You can find it in the Gospel of Luke too, about this lawyer. And one it says lawyer, the other one says this rich man. In this case, is the rich man. Inherit the eternal life. This guy, as he coming, I'm assuming, I have all the money of the world. I'm rich. Perhaps he didn't know, but I'm going to approach Christ and ask him, "What should I do?" Maybe he was pretty sure the money buys everything. That's the way I see it. What should I do that I may inherit. He has inherited so many things already. He's rich. But he has one thing he cannot have, and money cannot buy. Eternal life. Jesus asked him, saying to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these have I served from my youth." Then Jesus beheld him and loved him, stared at him, because he knew what this guy was thinking. And because he is one of his creations, his children, he was feeling sad for him. He was looking at him. "You need to do one more thing. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me." And of course, we know the rest of the story. He was sad at that saying and went away. He was disappointed because he had so many possessions. Jesus looked around about and saying to his disciples, "How hardly shall they have riches and enter into the kingdom of God?" Money is not all you need. All you have, you're going to leave behind. That's just my criteria. We don't own anything. We have to look for the good part. And the good part is eternal life. And the disciples were astonished at his word, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is for them," he repeated, "the trust and riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure. "Then who can be saved?" Who can be saved? We continue on. This is, to me, this is like Christ. "Give this guy a test. I'm going to give you a test. See what your answer is." He knew that he had all the money. But perhaps if he would have answered a different way, how can I seek? How can I inherit? What need to do? But God, looking through his eyes, he knew that he would not give his richness. Lehi, you remember when he was persecuted after the dream that he had. He had a dream that was that God told him to leave his country, where he was from. And for what the scripture says, Lehi was pretty rich. Because if you remember when his boys went to get the brass tablets, they went in to get all the gold and the silver to trade them for the brass tablets. And so that tells me that he had to leave everything behind, and so much that his boys were mad at him. First Nephi 1, chapter 1, verse 71, 77, "And behold, it came to pass that Laban was angry and thrust him out of his presence." This is when Laban went to talk to his, I think it was like a family member or something. I can't remember, but he was thrown out as he went through trying to collect those plates. "And he would not that he should have the records. Wherefore, he said to him, 'Behold, thou art a robber, and I was sliding.' But Laban fled out of his presence and told these things which Laban had done unto us. And we began to be exceeding sorrowful, and my brethren were about to return unto my father in the wilderness. But behold, I say unto them, I said unto them that as the Lord liveth and as we live, we will not go down unto our father and the world into the wilderness until we have accomplished the things which the Lord has commanded us. Accomplish what God has commanded us, we have to continue on. And in the Church of Christ, around us, there's mega churches, there's many pastors, and they all have a retirement. They retire, and they get paid for the rest of their life. I don't know what is the age that they retire, but once a true calling from God for you to serve His ministry is until you die. Is you won't go back. Just like the fishermen that he shoots by the sea. Once you have accepted, you cannot go back. And many brothers here in this church, I have noticed as they've been passing away, they are truthful to the end. So you guys didn't tell me that. I saw it. Perhaps I would have a different answer. And I think if I would have a different answer, I would have regret through my whole life. We continue on 1 Nephi 1:76. Wherefore, let us be faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Therefore, let us go down to the land of our father's inheritance. For behold, he left gold and silver and all manner of riches. He didn't care about these things. He obeyed God. Obedience, that's another big word that we talk about a lot here. Obedience. And as we work, as we go through our days, we have to remember these things when you are about to do something that you know is wrong. You have to hold up. You have to hold back. The truth is in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And that's where the truth is. And the salvation is only through Him, but we have to work it out. For we were slaves of sin, but we are free to Him. In Romans chapter 6, 20-23, it says, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit into holiness and the end everlasting life. Everlasting life. That is the good thing that we need to look for. We have to have that always in our presence, the everlasting life. Because you are here for not too long. We don't last forever. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen to that. So these things that we fight for every day, it's just material. It keep us happiness, but let's try not to focus too much on those things. Our eyes should be on Christ. In John 17:1-4, it says, "These words I speak." No, these words speak Jesus, lifting up his eyes to heaven and say, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him, give him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do." He has finished it. and we continue on to finish it up, to continue spreading His word and those good things. Because as the prodigal son, the son that went away lost everything, but the one that stayed behind, he was inherit of all that his father had. And that's what he was trying to tell him, let him know and make a point. Why are you mad? You have everything. Your brother was lost and has been found. You should be glad for him. You don't have to worry. We are the old son. We have everything. But there's a prodigal son up there outside of these walls that needs to know the truth. We have everything. We cannot sit here and complain of those things that have no matter. You see it in Luke 15:31-32. It says, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. We are dead in sin, brothers and sisters. And there's many up there. That's why when Christ says, when they ask him, let me go and bury my dead, that I shall follow you. And he say, let the dead bury their dead. We are dead in sin. And if we not know Christ, we are dead. That's just the whole truth. In Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Work it out with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We have to work our salvation. The time is running out. We need to serve. We need to know how to serve and to be a good example and be kind and to choose those good things. And the king, in the book of Mosiah, King Benjamin, in verse 49, it says, and behold, and this is very familiar scripture, you know it. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that they may learn when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are in the service of your God. Paul told us in Timothy that we have to obey and do those things just like you're doing it for Christ. And here, King Benjamin is reminding us that we should do the good always. Not with murmuring, which I need to work on. I work on that. I murmur a lot. I need to work on that. But we need to serve others just like you serve in Christ. Book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and it came to him and says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And this is what I like about this chapter here. And this is what is my sermon almost, that we had to choose the good part. I'm sure you know the answer of Jesus. It says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good thing, which should not be taken away from her. And that is, she has chosen eternal life. Don't let the things around you choose them instead of choosing that good part. as Mary there. Because we have so much work to do here, but if we focus on that, we're going to ignore the other. And we cannot do that. We have to choose Christ. We have to choose God before anything else, even our family. And that's how it is. Second Nephi, chapter 1, verse 122 to 27. And now, my sons, I would that you should look to the great mediator and hearken unto his great commandments and be faithful unto his words and choose eternal life according to the will of his Holy Spirit. And not choose eternal death according to the will of the flesh and the evil which is therein, which give the spirit of the evil power to captive to bring you down to hell, that he may reign over you in his own kingdom. I have spoken these few words unto you, O my sons, in the last days of my probation, and I have chosen the good part according to the words of the prophet. Choose the good part, brothers and sisters. Choose eternal life. That is our focus in our life, not other things. Choose the good part. And Luke, chapter 10, verse 42. One thing is needed, as he repeated. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I had two more verses, and I want to leave them with you before I finish my sermon. And you find them in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 11. Actually, just one. Trust in the Lord. He is faithful. It's faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we should also live with him. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, it says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And the Lord be with you all. That is a good ending that I choose right there. But just to remind you that the good part is up there. And the things of the world might try to bring us down, but just think about it. We fight to stay in this world. Why? To continue suffering? Should we think like the Thessalonians? Let's quit work and do anything and just wait for Christ to come? No. We have to continue on and live like a normal people and do the right thing, because by your works, you'll be judged. Thank you.